Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me? Okay. All right. As you can see in your bulletin, it says in the prayer request, please pray for Pastor Chris's one-year sabbatical. So I haven't officially announced yet from here, but I guess now is the
official announcement. It was announced actually last week in the Japanese service. Japanese congregational meeting, so it's kind of official. It was in the annual report. And then, now it's in the bulletin. But this will be my final three sermons for 1 year. I'll be taking a preaching sabbatical for the year of 2024. I wanted to announce it last week, but I didn't want to detract from Devin's message of hope last week. So anyways, I don't want to go too much into it. I'll explain it more at the end of the year service, the last service of December. But just so you know, I'll be entering a year of sabbatical in 1 year. So yeah, okay. Let me just quickly say a prayer for our message. Illumine our hearts, O Master who lovest all mankind, with the pure light of thy divine knowledge. Open the eyes of our minds to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Impart also within us the fear of thy blessed commandments, that trampling down all carnal desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, both thinking and doing such things as are well-pleasing unto thee. For thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee we ascribe glory, together with thy Father who is from everlasting, and thine all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and forever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. So, are you good at giving presents? Are you good at gift-giving? Do you take time, and when you give the present, does the person feel so special because you went out and you made something or you bought something? It took so much time and effort. You wanted to get just the right thing for them. Are you good at gift giving? Do you have the gift of giving? I don't. I'm terrible. I don't have the gift of giving. I have the gift of receiving. That's my gift. When you give me a gift, I make you feel so special, so wonderful. You are so thoughtful and kind and generous. Yeah, so just so you know, if you give me a gift, you're going to feel great about it. Yeah, no hints or anything like that. But, and here's the key when you give a present. You know, the present is greater if it's something that the person cannot get for themselves. Yeah. Like, if you give me a gift and I open it, and, oh, it's a bottle of water. Oh, thank you. I appreciate the bottle of water. But I can go and get my own bottle of water, right? But if you hand me an envelope, and inside is money to pay all of my taxes for 5 years, that's something I can't do by myself, right? And so when you give a gift, the greater the gift is, I can't say this in English, I don't know how to say it, but the more the person is unable to get it themselves, that's the greater the gift. Amen? That makes sense? Yeah. Peace is the gift from God. The reason it's a gift is because we cannot get it ourselves. If you can't say amen, you ought to say ouch. Right? No matter how hard we try, no matter all our efforts to have peace, we are unable to attain it in our own power or strength. Okay, I have to change the PowerPoint slide, but I don't have the changer. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Sorry, Jim. Yeah. Why is peace the gift? Let's go all the way back. All the way back to the garden where our first parents, Adam and Eve, they were living in harmony with God and with each other. God was daily in their presence, and it says that Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. When you are naked with somebody with no shame, you are so vulnerable. And yet, you are at peace because there's no fear of shame or punishment, right? Perfect love, there is no fear in love, for perfect love drives out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And he who fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us, 1 John chapter 4. But what happened? Our first parents, like us, we listened to the lie that we can have wisdom and knowledge to do things our way. We can have life apart from God, apart from his commandment, away from his way of doing it. And so we listened to the lie and we disobeyed the one who gives us peace. And so what happened? We got separated from God. And listen, whether your God is the God of the Bible or the God of the world, whatever is most important in your life, that's your God. If it's your career, your romance, whatever it is, your family. And whenever you try to do it your way apart from them or apart from that which is set, you're separating yourself from life. And so here's what happened. We broke our relationship with God. And breaking the relationship with God means we broke our peace. We saw that we're naked, we became ashamed, and we tried to cover ourselves. But then it got worse. Adam and Eve's children, brothers, Cain and Abel, because they were separated from God, they were separated from themselves. Cain, he tries to connect with God, but his hatred for his brother stood in the way. So he could not connect with God, he could not have peace with his brother, and then God says, you know what? The problem is not only with you and your brother, not only with you and me, the problem is you with yourself. Sin is right there in front of you, waiting to devour you. And so the reason we don't have peace with each other is we don't have peace with ourselves because we don't have peace with God. We can't accomplish it. And it just got worse. And you continue to read Genesis. The story continues from chapter 4 all the way to chapter 11, to the Tower of Babel, and it just got worse and worse. We became so good at killing each other that God had to come down. That's the story of the Tower of Babel. So peace. The reason why peace is a gift is because we can't get it ourselves. The good news is, God knew, and God promised, I will send the peacemaker. And the Bible says that when the set time had fully come, God sent his son. And the one who wrote that was Paul, the apostle. He also wrote in another letter, His son came and preached peace to us who were far away and peace to those who are near. He had a double message of peace. Ones for who are near and ones for those who are far. The ones who are near were the Jewish people, the ones who lived close to God through the commandments, through the Torah. They had in their conscience, in their culture, closeness to God. But not only them. He preached peace to us who were far away. From the Philippines to Australia, to Ghana, to Kenya, from all parts of the world, even America. He preached peace. Jesus is the peace offering from God. Jesus is the gift of peace. So real quick, a definition of peace. In Hebrew, the word peace is shalom. And if you have an image of shalom, to give you a greater image, it's the meaning of being complete or whole. Imagine a bowl with no cracks or no pieces missing, no chips. And then now, next to that bowl, imagine a full set of plates and forks and spoons and chopsticks. It's a complete whole set. And not only is the whole set of dishes and silverware, imagine inside that bowl is a wonderful soup, a bowl of rice, some fish, some vegetables, a complete and whole meal. That's shalom. And then around that meal is a whole table of friends and family where you're laughing and telling stories, and it's a wonderful celebration. It's whole. It's shalom. And then around that table are other tables with more friends and more family and neighbors. It's a whole community. It's a festival. It's a banquet. It's shalom. That's the image in the Bible. And God says in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ, he says, when you are someone who invites people to join in the banquet, when you are someone who takes two people who are fighting and are at war, you bring them together, Jesus says, you're blessed. You are a child of God. I was eating dinner last night with a friend from India. He comes from a very small village in the Ranchi state of India. In his village, there are 15 houses. Just imagine. Maybe some of you know what that's like coming from a small country. I said, how long does it take to walk across your village? He says, 6 minutes. Yeah. That's from here to the train station. 15 houses in the village. I said, I can't imagine how you do that. How do you live in such a place? He says, everybody knows everybody's secrets. He says, if there's two people fighting in one home, the whole village gets out of their home, they go to the house, yeah? And they don't leave until they're able to fix their problem, right? The whole village, 15 homes, come into this house. I said, what kind of problems do they have? Well, you know, maybe the father says to the son, you have to go out and work with the field, and the son wants to take a holiday, blah, 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 blah. I have no idea what he's talking about. The whole village comes to make peace in one family, right? So I want to tell you a story. I don't know if you're familiar. There's a story called The Peace Child. And it's a story of West Indonesia, a place that's formerly called Papua New Guinea. And there's a tribe called, no, not the tribe, there's a people group called the Swahi. Sauhi. I mixed it up. They are cannibalistic. They war with each other, and the way that they fight is by, if they kill their enemy, they eat them. So there's a story of a young man named Ya'e. And Ya'e goes to a village that's their enemy, and he makes a friend with this enemy village. And he gives this long story of how, let's be friends, and let me help you, and you can help me, let's be partners. And he says, come to my village, and let's have a meal together to have peace. And so he gets this member of another tribe to come to his village. They sit down and they have a big meal. And at the end of the meal, everybody's, you know, full and happy. He kills him. He kills the member of the other tribe. And everybody comes and they eat him. True story. And Ya'e becomes a hero, because in the Sahi tribe or the Sahi people, if you are able to tell a lie so good, and you are able to deceive your enemy so he trusts you, that you can have victory over him, you are the hero. You are a great warrior. That's how this people lived for centuries. So in 1962... a young couple named Don and Carol Richardson became missionaries to this small people group. And Don was an expert in languages. And so he went to this tribe, he learned their language so he can write an alphabet. And his goal was so that he can write the Bible, or translate the Bible into their language. He was there for years, and of course they're trying to share the gospel with these people. So he would tell them the story of Judas and Jesus. Sorry. And this was the amazing thing. He told them the story of Easter, of how Judas was betrayed by his friend Judas and went to the cross. And all of the people reacted by saying, Judas, he's the hero. He deceived Jesus so much that he was able to get money and have his friend killed. And they laughed at Jesus for being so foolish at believing the lie of Judas. So Don and his wife Carol, they said, oh no, how can we, we're trying to share the good news of the gospel, and these people, it's the opposite, right? They think the liar is the hero of the story. What can we do? One day, the enemy village came and attacked their village where they're staying. And so they're in their tent, and they're just hearing the arrows, you know, and the fighting outside. And there's a war. Everything stops, and they calm down, and, you know, they go back to their places. And Don and his wife said, okay, we're leaving. We can't stay here anymore. We're leaving you. And the tribes, the village said, no, don't go. We need your steel. We need your knives. We need your metal. We need your tools. Don't leave us. And he said, no, we can't. It's too violent. And so the leader of the tribe or the village said, okay, in order for you to stay, what can we do? And Don said, you have to make peace with the other village. Well, how do we do that? There's only one way that the Sahi people make peace. They have to offer a child. So the leader of the one tribe takes his infant son, newborn son. He goes to the other village and he gives them their son as an offering of peace. So that as long as that child is alive, for his whole life, these two villages will be at peace. And the leader of that village also gives his son. And so whenever there's a conflict, whenever there's a fight or an argument, they go back to the peace child and they say, we cannot kill each other because of the peace child. We have a contract, a promise of peace. So we must forgive each other. And the reason that that is the only way that they can have peace is because, he says, you can only trust a man who is able to give you his own son. That's the only one you can trust in this people group, right? And so that's known as the peace child. Aha. So Don says, that's what God did for us. He explained to his leaders and the tribes people, he said, God who made all that we have, we were at war with him. We were in conflict. We could not have peace with God. And so in order to make peace with us, he gave us his son. And his son is the peace child. For as long as that child is alive, we have peace with God. And here's the good news. The child never dies. So as long as he's alive, we have peace with God. Right? They understood. They received the gospel. And they, the leader, became a Christian. He gave his life to that son, to that God. And all of the village, the next village, and the whole people group was transformed. It was not only just the leaders. 50 years later, he went back to the people group. They were in the water. Hundreds of people were getting baptized. The next generation was transformed because of God's gift of peace, his only son. Amen? When the time had fully come, God sent his son to bring us peace. Peace is the gift. And also in Paul says, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one. Ah, good story, wonderful message. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. No. We cannot stop there. Okay? We who follow Christ not only believe the message of peace, but God gives us the ministry of peace. And I think one of the ways I can translate peace in Japanese is not heiwa or heian. In the Bible, the best way to translate peace would be chowa, which is harmony, or owakai, reconciliation. That's peace. That's shalom. It means wakai and reconciliation. It means you take something that's broken and you put it back together and make it whole. And that's the ministry of peace. So if you receive the message of peace, you are not complete until you participate in the ministry of peace. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Please go from here and be a peacemaker. Be someone who will go and give an offering of forgiveness or repentance. Be someone who is willing to say, that was my mistake. I'm sorry. I didn't want to hurt you, but I hurt you, and it's my mistake. That's the number one thing. Now, maybe you did nothing wrong. God did nothing wrong. But he still paid the price. Because that's how reconciliation works. There's always a price to pay. And even if you did nothing wrong, pay the price. Do you believe in Jesus? God paid the price for you. You can pay the price. You have the resource. You have the living water. You have the bread of heaven. You have the ability to give the gift that they cannot provide for themselves. How is that? Humility, repentance, generosity, kindness. Maybe it takes time. Okay, let it cool down. Right? Let some time pass. But when God gives you the opening or the opportunity to make a phone call, to send a message, you know what the Bible says? In Proverbs, the gift opens the way for the giver. What's one way you can have reconciliation? It's Christmas. You have a gift. It's a chance. Right? So I was on the phone last night with my friends from the United States. One friend was visiting a businessman, and the businessman was telling him about his children. Three sons. One son is in another city, successful, doing well, but he had not seen his son for many years. They had a kind of fight. Something happened. They grew distant, apart. They live in a different city. And so this businessman told my friend, can we pray for him? Let's pray for my son. Well, you know, what else can we do? So they prayed, Lord, please have some reconciliation between this man and his son. 2 days later, this last week, he got an email from that businessman. He says, thank you for praying. Just yesterday, after you came, my son called me on the phone. And we're reconnected after many years. It's the ministry of reconciliation. It's the ministry of peace. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to begin. You pray. You pray. God wants you to have connection. God wants you to have reconciliation. Be a child of God. Be a peacemaker. Pray for peace. And then when he gives you the opportunity, walk in his way. The psalmist says, make me to know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. You don't know his ways yet? Pray for him to teach you his ways. And he will. He loves you. He loves you so much, he gave his own son to be peace. You're connected with him. You're connected with yourself. You're reconciled with each other. The message and the ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Lord God, grant us peace. As we have peace with you, give us peace with ourselves. As we are made complete in you, make us complete with one another. Make us whole. Once more, O God, in Jesus' name, amen.